Yeah, so, we're going to do with you. Yeah.
I have a question.
Yesterday I had some experience. I was making a cover for my ball strip.
Yeah.
So while making, a few times I noticed that I started to thinking, and I was seeing it separately.
Mm-hmm.
Because I thought I'm going to be crazy because I saw some thoughts coming up and started thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So then I just started Buddha, 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 and then it's disappear. I'm Buddha also disappear. I forget to think it sometime.
Why do you think it is crazy?
I don't know.
You are not the thoughts. So if you see thoughts are coming, that is normally. Just like you see clouds. You don't think you're crazy because you see the clouds. Yeah? But that comes with practice, yeah. We suddenly see that these things are not us, not me, not mine. Yeah? And that there is something that is called sati, or the knowingness, yeah? That knows all these things. The knowingness doesn't do anything. The knowingness doesn't do the thinking. It knows that there is thinking. It knows that there is a Buddha. It knows that there is no Buddha.
And I felt last maybe within. I felt like something after a few weeks, before, since few weeks. I am kind of. I see my creations a lot of.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I get tired of it because I am. I can't stop. These are coming always.
Mm-hmm.
The more I see, I kind of sometimes discourage.
Mm-hmm.
So I am not kind of very strict doing practice these days. I'm just going normal, but...
And that's exactly what the kilesas want. Huh? They want, they paint these pictures, but that this is quite normal. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
The deeper you go into the past, the more you know these things. You have painted it over. And that is the same thing. The deeper you go into the citta, the more you know the kilesa. Yeah? If you remember what I said about, the practice of meditation. In the beginning we think we are very mindful. Yeah? We are very aware. Yeah? And then suddenly, it switches into, why am I constantly unaware? Yeah? That's when awareness has reached 50%. Yeah? Once it has reached 50%, 50% of the time we are aware, we see our constant unawareness. Before, if it is 20 or 30%, all what we see is our awareness. Oh, see how mindful I am? No, we are not mindful yet. Yeah? And that's surprising, yeah? But you get used to it, yeah? So, it's good, if you see the kilesas, yeah? And if you're discouraged with the kilesas, but you make the mistake of following the kilesas, yeah? They tell you, it's bad, let's go back into our playing mode, yeah? that is the whole purpose of practice, to become more and more aware of what is going on in the citta. And what is aware of what is going on in the citta is not the citta. Yeah? It's not the kilesas. Yeah? It's not the thoughts. It's not the feelings. Yeah? And that is a good thing, if you can observe painful feelings, we know we are not these painful feelings. We can observe the body and we know we are not the body. Yeah? There's something separate. Yeah? So it is actually good, and you should go back to your practice, yeah? Don't get discouraged, get encouraged, yeah? When you suddenly start to see these things, yeah?
That's what, one thing I am wondering, because I did so a strict kind of practice in the Pansa.
Yeah?
Since I came here second time, I actually not started it. That kind of thing.
Yeah, that is
good. Right.
Yeah, I mean that happens to most. Yeah, to most of the monks, you know, for the first year, as long as they are not monks, they are really strictly practicing. Yeah, then the moment they get monks, you know, then they, you know, stop practicing because they think, I'm already safe. We are not safe. We haven't done anything, you know, that makes us safe. So some of the lay people are practicing harder than we. Yeah, we as monks. Isn't there the nice story of, was it? Yeah, it was Lumpur Phan, wasn't it? Yeah. I mean, when he went, I think when he went to Chiang Mai, yeah, Lumpur Phan, you know, I mean, went, you know, to eat, yeah. In the morning, and then he went back, you know, to have his nap, yeah. And then he came back, you know, from having a coffee, you know, then he went back, you know, having another nap or whatever. And whenever, you know, whenever he went back to his kuti, he saw a lay person practicing walking meditation. He said, that's interesting. And then he came back, you know, from his nap, you know, he still saw the lay person, you know, practicing. He was still walking, you know. Then he came back from his coffee break and he still saw him practicing. And then he suddenly realized, I mean, what he can do, I can do. Yeah? And then he started practicing. So sometimes for us as monks, it is good, you know, if we have some lay practitioner here who practice very hard. Yeah? You can see that, you know, and you can encourage him. So now that you're here ordained as a monk, you know, I mean, it is, you feel differently, you know, you feel secure, yeah? There's no security. Yeah? It is, we don't, yeah, especially when we become monks, you know, I mean, we don't have to worry about anything, yeah. I mean, we go Pindapad in the morning, we get our food and we get everything else, yeah, that we need from the lay people. Yeah. So then we can become lazy. Yeah. Yeah. And that's of course not the way that the Lord Buddha taught us. Yeah. We have, you know, we have a responsibility when we get all this free food, yeah, and free lodging and free clothes, yeah, and free medicine, yeah. We have the responsibility to practice. Yeah. And if you don't do it, you go faster to hell than the lay people. Well, I mean, you should be aware of that. Yeah? I mean, we ordained, you know, we ordained as monks, you know, for just one purpose, yeah? To get rid, you know, get rid of the kilesas, to get free, yeah? To get out of the treadmill, yeah? Of daily life. Huh? Yesterday I was talking about it, yeah? Treadmill, yeah? Treadmill. I mean, you wake up, you know, you eat something, and then you do something, you eat something, and then you go to sleep. And the next day you do the same thing. You wake up, you eat something, you do something, you eat another thing, you know, and then you go to bed. And we are here in this monastery, we eat only once, yeah? It's the same thing, day in, day out. And people do that for 40 years, for 50 years. Yeah? Getting up. Doing, yeah, eating something, doing something, taking care of their body, yeah? Sleeping, getting up. Yeah? I mean, where's the fun in this? Huh? The fun is only in playing these imaginations that we have. When I practice hard, you know, I get free. When I'm free, you know, I can do this and I can do that. Yeah? But that doesn't mean that we are practicing. Yeah? practicing is a very tough job. I mean, constantly returning to the Buddha, constantly returning to the breath, or constantly returning to the point of attention, object of investigation. And that is not easy. So develop, I mean, when the way out, that the Lord Buddha gave us, is the way of Sila, Samadhi and Panya. Sila is keeping the 227 rules if you're a monk, and here you can keep the 8 precepts. When you're in a monastery, when you are back home, you keep the 5 precepts. That is sila, morality or precepts. And then the training of samadhi, and that is the most difficult thing for us. Making the mind stay at one thing. The object we give it is the Buddha or is the breath. Then that's called samadhi. Practicing concentration. With the concentration, once the concentration becomes stronger, and we can stay for moments on the Buddha or on the breath, then we start to develop the sati, this knowingness. That's what we need. The knowingness about the Buddha or the knowingness about the breath. Until, sooner or later, it will separate. We concentrate at the tip of the nose, observe the breath, and then the concentration will stick, to the point of, to the tip of the nose, and sati will return to where it's coming from. It's coming from the heart. That's where the knowingness arises. And this knowingness, knows things. It knows if there is a thought coming. It knows even if there is a train of thought coming. It knows all these. And it can know because, it is not one of these things. It's not one of these thoughts. It's not consciousness. Lots of people think it is consciousness. No, it's not consciousness. Sati can know. Consciousness arises. Sati can know. Consciousness sees. How is the state of mind if there is no consciousness? Very interesting. If there is no consciousness, the whole world disappears for a moment. And then the world arises again, and then it disappears. And it is so fast that we don't catch it. That's why we believe, that's why we believe consciousness is always there. It is just like within the old movies, when there was still film, between each picture there was a black bar. If you played the movie a little bit too slow, you could see the black bar between each picture. That's why in the beginning they called the movies, moving picture. It was just one picture and then came another picture and came another picture. But because it was too fast for our eyes, we thought there is movement. And that's the same thing with consciousness. We cannot, distinguish, when we are conscious or not conscious. So consciousness is just one of these groups. Body is one of the groups, feeling is one of the groups, memory association is one of the groups, thoughts, and consciousness. The 5 groups that we believe we are. And sati is something that goes beyond consciousness. Sati is just this knowingness that knows everything. And this is something that we have to develop with our concentration practice. Knowing that the breath is going in, knowing that the breath is going out, knowing the breath is deep or shallow or whatever. I explained it so often. And once concentration is good, and we are able to stay, we stay at our object, then sati will separate from the point of concentration. And there's nothing wrong with that. We still concentrate, and we increase our knowingness, or we increase our sati about the object. But most people get bored, at that time, get lazy because the mind also gets quiet. And then they, instead of, sticking to the object, they go to the feelings, of calm, the feelings of happiness, or the feelings of joy. But that's not the point. When we train samadhi, we want to train concentration and sati. Sati is important, you know, is this knowingness, is this torch, you know? When we go into a dark cellar, I mean, if you don't have a torch, we stumble about this, we stumble across that, you know? I mean, we hit our head against a beam, yeah? Because we have no light to see what is there inside. But if you have a torch, if you have a strong torch, I mean, we see everything. And then we can turn around these things. And that is how we investigate. Can we investigate the body? We can investigate feelings. But only if our torch is, yeah, bright enough. If our sati is strong enough, then we can easily investigate these things. If our sati is not yet developed, then I mean, we still have to develop it before we can do investigation. Except for the simple investigation of reflecting about life or reflecting about what we've done today. That is training memory. And memory is an important factor that needs to be trained also for investigation. We can't memorize, yeah, well, what happens, yeah? Then we always do the same mistakes. Yeah? We cannot learn from our mistakes. In the investigation, yeah, is looking, samadhi is the concentration. So I mean, there's this upachara samadhi, and we need that upachara samadhi or aksa samadhi. We need it to rest our body, to rest our mind, yeah? To get it concentrated and, yeah, to get it malleable. Yeah? I mean, easy to direct. Yeah? And the better it is, I mean, the easier we can go and look at the things, yeah. Then the faster we progress. So sati is very important. I mean, I mentioned it before, yeah, in our practice. But it is also, you know, the concentration samadhi is also very important. Yeah? I mean, just to rest the mind. Yeah? When we do investigation, we have to ask questions, we have to do work, you know, we have to go against resistance, we have to go against boredom, we have to go against a lot of things, we have to go against ill will, we have to go, all these hindrances come up, sloth and torpor and so on. That's where we need to ask the right questions. That's where we need to use our mind. If we don't have a place where we can rest the mind, yeah, like in samadhi, then we have no way, you know, of getting ever anywhere. Investigation or vipassana, insight meditation, is the path to freedom. And what do we investigate first is the body, yeah? Together with the bodily feeling. So when we sit, you know, and the longer we sit, the better it is. If you sit for 1 hour, there's a certain amount of difficulties coming up. After a while, there's hardly any difficulties coming up. But if you start to sit then for 2 hours, other difficulties come up. And if you start to sit for 3 hours, more difficulties come up. And the longer we sit, you know, the deeper we go with the difficulties. I mean, what is at the bottom of the heart? I mean, it's just the same thing. You know, I mean, you have a lake, you know, and the deeper you dive, the more you see what is on the ground. Yeah. In the beginning, you just see blue water and there's nothing, you know, there's nothing in it, yeah. But the deeper you dive, you know, I mean, you see everything, you know, that is stored on the bottom of the lake. Yeah? And that is the same with our practice, no matter if it is walking meditation or if it is sitting meditation, the longer we do one session, I mean, the more we go against against the hindrances that the kilesas bring up, because they don't want to. So they bring up resistance, they bring up boredom, they bring up sloth and torpor, you know, whatever they bring up. Yeah? Or they even, you know, can haunt us with images from the past. Yeah? We have to investigate it, you know, and see for what they are. So, I mean, remember this, yeah? I mean, the longer we sit, yeah, or the longer we do a session, yeah? where we concentrate on the same object, yeah? Be it samadhi or be it investigation. And the more things come up. Yeah? It's just like diving, you know, the deeper we dive, the more we see. Yeah? So I mean, if you do just 1 hour of practice, you know, I mean, that's not really useful, you know, you don't really see any of the hidden kilesa that work underground, yeah? They work in the dark, yeah? I mean, the lake, you know, when the deep it is, you know, the darker it gets. Yeah? So, and then investigation, yeah? Investigation of the body, investigation of bodily feeling. And pain is one thing that is very easy to investigate, because it comes up so often. What is pain? Or fear? What is fear? Or what is restlessness? I mean, these things are coming up very often. Boredom, restlessness, tiredness. What is tiredness? What is boredom? You see for what they are, you know, they are just hindrances and overcome them. The moment, you know, you see pain, you know, and you see a thought, I want to get up, yeah? Then investigate pain. What is pain? Just ask the question, what is pain? And don't listen to any answers that are coming. Because the answer are all rectifications of the kilesas. Yeah, I'm sitting too long, I'm going to break my leg, you know, if I'm sitting any longer. Yeah? These are just, you know, justifications of the citta, justification of the kilesa. Want to make you get up. What is boredom? Boredom is disinterest. The moment you're interested in boredom, I mean, boredom disappears. It has to disappear. Because it's just the opposite. You see these things for yourself, investigate. Just hearing them doesn't solve the problem. You have to see it with your own eyes. It's the whole point. In investigating body outside. I mean, we believe we are this body, you know, I mean. Yeah? What is this body? I mean, it is born and dies. Are we going to die with it, you know, when we die? Yeah? Or is there something, you know, that controls this body? I mean, just going, you know, just going back to our birth and seeing, you know, this body lying, you know, on his back, you know, and not being able to do anything. There must be something in it, you know, that trains this body. The body cannot train itself. There must be some will. Yeah? There must be some willpower, you know, to be able to learn to walk, to be able to learn to talk. And that exactly, this willpower comes from the citta. Or comes even from avijja. But that's not the point. Yeah? I mean, we need this willpower to get free. Yeah? So we have to use the power of avijja and turn it in the right direction. So don't think, you know, I don't want anything, you know, I mean, that's not the way to freedom. Freedom is you know, to be able to in any kind of situation, to be happy and contented. Yeah? To just do the right thing. Yeah? Not worry about, you know, what is going to happen. You know what to do. But when our program's running, I mean, then we are constantly worried. Yeah? What am I going to do, you know, if a tiger, you know, looks through my door? Yeah? What are you going to do? You don't know what you're going to do. Yeah? What are you going to do when you die tonight? Yeah? You don't know it. Let these things happen. Yeah? I mean, freedom is, you know, just to be open-minded, you know, at every situation. Not being conditioned, you know, not being programmed. It has some uses in this world, yeah. I mean, that's how the world works, you know. I mean, we program ourselves, we program to become an engineer or to become a teacher or this or that. Yeah. There's some use to it, but there's a lot of mistakes that can happen from programs. I mean, we know it. Yeah. From software that is developed, each of the software does have bugs, you know. There is no software that doesn't have any bugs. And so if you develop software that has bugs, you know, our software that runs this body, you know, has bugs as well. Yeah? We can try to find this box, and that's what we normally do, you know, and once we remove this box, we create another box. Yeah? So there's no use of repairing your programs. The only use is, you know, to get rid of your unconditioning. Yeah? To get rid of the conditioning, and then you're unconditioned, and then there are no more box. Yeah? That way you're free, you know. And you're not afraid of anything. Yeah? You don't worry about anything, you know, I mean, things just come the way they are. And then, only then you realize, I mean, it has been always this way. You cannot change the world, you cannot change other people. Yeah? Husband and wife knows it. You can't change your husband and you can't change your wife, you know. as hard as we try. Yeah? It's so difficult to change ourselves, you know. Okay, so keep that in mind, yeah, for today. Yeah. So if there are any questions, you can ask them now. And start working, yeah. I mean, I don't enjoy, you know, the bhikkhu life, yeah, it's so easy, yeah. Start practicing, yeah.
With knowing this, that's where the equanimity comes in.
Yeah.
Right? Well, I've heard it talked about before, that there's a difference between the equanimity of multiplicity and the equanimity of singularity, in that, like, the singularity would be, you know, the jhana state, but the multiplicity would be trying to develop just this baseline of whatever it is without being at that point. How valuable is the multiplicity thing to try to, you know, develop before you're at the point of sati or samadhi, where you can just accept things?
It is always useful, yeah? Because every day, you know, things are happening that you don't like, yeah? So, I mean, just accept it. I mean, we have to accept whatever is coming towards us, yeah? I mean, that is a learning, yeah? I mean, it is very useful. I mean, you know, I mean, I sometimes talk about it. I mean, whatever happens to us is the result of our own karma. And to accept that, yeah? I mean, just like I say, you know, I mean, if there's fear, the first thing that we need to do is to accept that fear. And that produces equanimity towards fear, yeah? Or, you know, if a calamity comes up, you know, I mean, to accept that calamity and then see there's actually, the moment we accept the calamity, then we see there's no calamity. Yeah? But as long as we paint it as a calamity, you know, I mean, that's a calamity for us. Yeah? Then the same thing is for fear. Yeah? The same thing is for worries. The moment we start, you know, we start to investigate that, yeah? Little by little. I mean, we don't have to have a lot of sati for that. And pain, yeah? Unpleasant feeling. The moment we, you know, accept, you know, these feelings, it is very important, you know. I said before, you can investigate anything, I mean, you have to accept it. Yeah? And that is a part of equanimity, yeah? Being able to accept the way things are. Yeah? And what I normally say is, you know, when there is pain, you know, open your heart, you know, I mean, breathe it in, feel it in the whole body, yeah. And that is already accepted. And that's a part of equanimity. And without that kind of equanimity, you don't get into singularity.
Yeah. And that helps clean up your karma, purify your mind too. Huh? And that helps to clean up your karma and purify the mind.
Yeah, it helps up to clean the karma. And the moment you react towards the karma, I mean, that's where you create new karma. Yeah. The moment you don't accept, you know, I mean, you think somebody is... Yeah, somebody is misbehaving, you know, and you want to, you know, you really want to give him a blow, you know. I mean, that's where you actually make the karma stronger. Yeah? You want to say, okay, yeah. I mean, whatever comes back to me is my own karma. Yeah. Then you relieve that karma, and it doesn't come back anymore in this form. Yeah. It comes back then, you know, what I saw within my own practice. Yeah. I mean, the first time it comes really strong, then you try to accept it, what is not easy, yeah? And then the next time it comes weaker, yeah? And then it is much easier to accept. And then you accept it, and then after a while it doesn't come back anymore. It becomes weaker and weaker and weaker. So, I mean, it doesn't go in one go, yeah. Karma is, you know, comes back. It's just like waves, you know, on the seaside, yeah. They're coming, rolling in. Yeah? But the moment the wind that pushes the waves gets lower and lower, or weaker and weaker, I mean, the waves get lower and lower.
So, that immediately relates to, you were talking about, you know, just the length of one session.
Yeah.
Can the same sort of results happen by decreasing the time between sessions or increasing the number of sessions?
I mean, it can happen, you know, by increasing the number of sessions, but what you should do is, yeah, I mean, between sessions, yeah, don't let the mind go astray. Then it doesn't really matter if you sit, if you change from sitting position to walking position. If you don't let the mind go off, yeah, while you change your position, then it's the same thing, you know, it becomes tough. You will not try to do it a 3 or 4 or 5 hour, you know, sitting, you know, without breaking up, you know, and you see it is so tough. Yeah. But normally don't decrease the time. You should never. Yeah. I mean, walking meditation is easier for most people. You can do it for 2 hours without any problem. Yeah. But sitting meditation, I mean, don't do it under 1 hour. But the longer you can do it, you know, the better it is. And sitting meditation or standing meditation is the only kind of meditation where you can drop into the deep state of samadhi. When you walk, you can go into upachara samadhi. That's interesting. That's very interesting. I mean, you walk, and suddenly, I mean, it's just like you're standing beside the walking path and you see somebody walking. Oh, that's interesting. Huh? That's where the sati separates out from the body, you know, and sees the action going. Yeah? That happens only when you do long walking meditation, 4 or 5 hours or something. But it also can happen, you know, it's easily happening when you do sitting meditation. It separates out. But 1 hour, you know, I mean, it's just for the beginning, yeah. Yeah? Okay, understood?
Yeah. Things keep popping up.
Yeah.
That separation you talk about when walking, is that very similar to like experience where you get really super concentrated playing a sport, perhaps? Where you can watch yourself do the things that are like you're not controlling and
that's
like,
right.
It's fascinating.
That's right. I mean, why do you think people love to do extreme sports? Because they get a kind of happiness. But it's not the right kind of samadhi. Yeah? In samadhi, you know, I mean, we try, you know, to put the object, yeah, and it is much more difficult. I mean, extreme sport, you still have, you know, I mean, you still have lots of visuals, yeah. You have to react to, you know, whatever appears in front of you. So, I mean, you don't really see the mind working, yeah. But when you have just one object, you really see the mind working. But the separation is very similar. Okay? No more popping up questions. So, William, Andy, no questions? Happy? Happy? No happy? It's our right to be happy, yeah? But the Kilesas make it tough on us, huh? Very tough. Huh? Chuck them out, you know, I mean, chuck them out of your room, out of your heart, you know, and then there is happiness. Huh? It's our right to be happy. It's not our right to worry or be afraid also. So, When you're finished, then we can ask questions in German. Ja, wie, ja? Seid ihr bereit? Ein bisschen zu praktizieren? Ja? 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 Ihr habt ein schönes Häuschen, ne? Für euch alleine.
Ja, genau.
Ja?
Und den schönen Parkour, ich auch schon. Mhm. Ich bin schon gelaufen.
Ja, ja. Sprecht nicht so viel zueinander, quatscht nicht, ne?
Ja, ja.
Ansonsten müssen wir euch trennen.
Ja, genau. Sonst mag
ich
schon.
Ich halte mich dran. Ich halte mich dran.
Gut. So, irgendwelche Fragen?
Nein.
Nein, noch nicht. Ihr seid gerade erst frisch angekommen.
Ja, genau.
Ruht euch erst mal auf. Ne?
Ja, genau.
Okay, alles klar. Ihr wollt noch nicht aufstehen?